This is the Hallmarkies podcast, and I'm Rachel, and I'm so excited today to get to talk to one of my favorite Hall stars. We are talking with Jesse Schramm, star of the new movie, Road to Christmas. And Jesse, thanks so much for coming on talking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And so what we like to do is we like to just ask our guests to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become an actor.
Well, I am Jesse Schramm, and I became an actor when I feel like I was born an actor, but yeah. I professionally became one around the age of 10. My sister always used to direct me in plays in the backyard and stuff like that. And my mom always told me that for like every dance recital that she would go to, I'd be placed in the back and somehow I would be in the front and the center. So I feel like I always had that bug to perform, or I just really loved it so much or just got so passionate about it that it usually led me to the front of the line. But I would say when it came to television or really taking on a role, like I was always singing the Disney songs and always imagining things in my bedroom. And one day I told my mom, you know, I wanted to be on the real TV because we used to take our VHS recorder. For those millennials, that's like a really big camera that you put on your shoulder and need to shoot at people. Then it comes on a big tape. But yeah, we used to make little commercials on our own. And I remember a girl in my school going out for Harriet the Spy and, you know, asking my mom, like, can I be on the real TV? Can I have a shot at that? And I'm very blessed to have a family that has always been really supportive. And all of us, you know, tried to get in the running with things. And yeah, I've had a family that helped me in, you know, me saying, hey, can I try this? And they said, oh boy. Yeah, you can.
yeah. So did you grow up in the States or in Canada or?
I grew up in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. So that's near Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
So when Hallmark pretends to be Chicago, you fit right in.
Yep. Yep, pretty much. But that's the funny thing too, is like I hear recently different friends of mine that get to do the movies as well. They'll be like, we filmed in Chicago or it's from there. I'm like, I never get the script where I'm from Chicago. So maybe one day.
That's funny. So how did you, were there enough opportunities there in Illinois if you were a child actor?
I would say the opportunities that were in like Chicago were voiceover. So I did a lot of radio voiceover as well as commercials. So I learned my craft and being on set in commercials. So I can like reset a prop or hit my mark really strongly. And then I say like I really didn't actually start acting until I came to Los Angeles. Yeah. And that was when I was 18. So I moved right after high school and booked a job, oddly enough, on the Hallmark Channel. On a series called Jane Doe starring Leah Thompson.
Yeah. Well, so, but that must have helped you in The Birthday Wish because you were directing commercials in that movie.
Yes, I definitely understood that and the sets. And like, yeah, it's always fun when you can play something that you experience all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, your first role was for Hallmark. Is that correct?
Well, the first, like the job that kind of brought me to Los Angeles, I literally moved a day earlier because I booked it. So I was extremely fortunate to come to Los Angeles with a job. Uh-huh. But yeah, my first Hallmark job was Jane Doe.
Yeah. Interesting. And there were four or five of those, I believe.
I think that there were like even more than that. Yeah. It was so long ago. They were 2-hour movies, but it was a mini series. For the channel. So I think that there were like 8 or 10.
I mean, I've never seen any of those. I've heard about them, but they're kind of the predecessor to all these mystery shows, you know, that they have now.
Yes, it was really, it was the beginning of like the Garage Mystery series. And it was really neat. And they did such a good job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that must have been nice as a first sort of roles to work with somebody like Leah Thompson, who's such a veteran.
Oh yeah. I mean, the way that she is on set with her cast and crew, like I learned so much from her and was so lucky, you know, am so lucky to call her a friend, like getting to watch how she was able to to manage the set as a female lead and be so friendly and so professional. And what was really neat is she started directing during that time period. So, you know, I got close to her as a friend and playing her daughter on the screen, and then getting to watch her use her director skills and start that. Like, there was just so much that I learned from her. Yeah, she started directing during that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. So you, it's interesting. So you were very influenced by Disney, because you basically could play the Disney princess on Once Upon a Time. That must have been fun.
I did. I never thought I would ever actually be Cinderella. Like, I always tell people growing up, I was like, yes, Cinderella was my favorite. Was my favorite Disney movie, but I always like geared towards Gus, because like I never thought I could actually be Cinderella.
Right.
So it was, so it's fun to actually play the princess.
I mean, that must be a really fun show to be on. Just the, I don't know. I'm sure it's stressful in its own way, but it seems like it would be really fun. Just the imagineering kind of the going on with it.
Oh, 100%. And I would say definitely like, during that first season, it was really, I got to be there during, you know, right before it kind of aired. Like during the first season, I feel like everybody was still, I mean, during the whole time, we're still figuring it out and how you make this massive set and like the enchantedness come to life. But I would say it was, I feel really lucky to have been a part of that first season of before everybody saw it, really just like the excitement and the new exploration of trying to bring magic to life with something that has pressure to it, but that something is also really fun. So like there was this really neat energy and vibe that was around the sets and before it felt like before it aired, not really knowing how people would take it in, but really living in a world of creating something new. Something old but new.
Yeah. I was just mad that they got rid of Cinderella so quickly, because it's like that's like one of the most iconic characters in all of Disney. I was like, what are they doing?
Here's the great part of being part of the first couple episodes is I got to experience something that, you know, was unlike anything else.
Yeah.
The bad part of being during the first couple episodes is that they didn't realize, like, they gave me a happy ending right away. And then they're like, how do we incorporate you without just, like, taking away your entire family and leaving you for dirt? I'm like, hey, do it. Let's do it.
That's right. But no, I'm up for it.
I
made Emma be evil for a whole season. They bring back Cinderella for a couple episodes.
I know. Well, and, you know, it's like, there were so many different avenues to explore. And because I would talk to them really every season. They would pin me for a lot of different episodes. And when you're pinned means they let you know, hey, we're thinking about using you. We have these ideas. Are you free these dates? So like I would get pinned all the time and I'd get so excited. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't work in the story. So I was always like in contact with them, and they're so, so awesome and supportive. And, you know, they're just like, they have so many characters, and because it was early on, it was hard to incorporate back, but then they did, you know, in that final season, it was just with a whole brand new realm of Cinderella.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't even watch the final season. Cause I just felt like the story's done. My story's done. My character's gone. I'm done. And
Well, it's such a, I remember because I got to go, I think it was season right before this last one, I got to go to the premiere of the finale. And, you know, that's when I got to see like Jared or all the different characters where they're like, yeah, I'm not coming back. And of course I had been out of the loop with what was going on. And I could definitely understand, you know, the characters that you've been growing with and falling in love with, they won't be there anymore. So it feels like a completely different show. But, you know, I mean, that was a huge risk, and I'm glad they took it, because otherwise, you know, it wouldn't have gone on another season and we wouldn't know where things go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind them giving it a shot, but I just, I'm not really actually that much of a TV person. I'm a movie person.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge Disney person. And so of course I had to watch Once Upon a Time.
But, and you're already like, they already took the risk when they started the show by taking characters that everybody loves and has an image of in their head and then changing their story. So they took so many risks. And of course, you know, some are going to be the Olympian successor, and some are going to be like, I don't know that I love that one.
Yeah. I think I like the Once Upon a Time much better than I like the live action remake movies, personally. I just feel they're more interesting to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't really gotten into the live reenactment one. There's something that, I don't know, it's kind of like when there's new technology or different things, like my brain isn't quite sure. Yeah. Like, I'm sure in a couple years I'll be like, this is amazing. But yeah, I stick with Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, agreed. Good. Okay. So what was it like to be on Mad Men? That must have been kind of fun.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah. Mad Men was like the second show I had ever binged on Netflix. So of course, like when you binge a show, you have such a different connection with it.
Yeah.
But so it was interesting. I didn't know that it was the final season because I hadn't caught up completely. So I had gone in, I had read for a role. There were maybe like four lines possibly reoccurring, but it was just going to be one episode, one scene. And, I'm such a fan of the show, and I had never had the opportunity to audition for it before. So I was super excited, and I went in, you get the call back. Matt Weiner is sitting there asking you to do it like from A to Z a million different ways. And you leave the room going, I don't know. Do I even know how to act? And
yeah,
I got that role. And it was so, I love the process of that because they really, they see what's happening and then they work with that. And so getting to go on that show, being a super fan, having so much respect for it already, it was like, it was this standard that I felt like I was held to or holding myself to. And it was a really fun challenge to meet that. Mm-hmm. So I got to sit down at like that first table read and I couldn't find my chair anywhere. And I asked one of the assistants like, oh, I'll just like sit on the side of the room. And they're like, no, your chair is at the table and you're sitting down. And there's John Hamm, Christina Hendricks, Elizabeth Moss. Like it was such an experience as an actress and as a fan to be able to go, wow, I'm sitting at the table.
Yeah. Did it seem like you had just all of a sudden walked into the 1960s? I guess it was the late 1960s by then. I forget exactly
1969.
What. 1969, yeah. It was that.
Yeah, it was surreal. 1969. And it was amazing because here's one of the most fun things about Mad Men too, is that it is so particular on details that in wardrobe, unless they custom created something for you, you are not wearing a piece of clothing that has come out after 1969. Uh-huh. You're wearing like everything. I wore so many original outfits on that show. Yeah. And that was interesting too, to see the different ways that shoes fit, the different way that underwear fit, the different way that, like, you know, just the different ways that you move. And when it came to hairstyles too, like we sat down and tried to figure out what kind of hairstyle there was. You know, I didn't know that people didn't really paint their toenails at the time, so I wasn't allowed to have my toenails painted. Like the details in that really completely got you into 1969.
Yeah, the attention to detail in that show was basically flawless.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did. I made, like, once I found that out too, I made a playlist of like the songs that came out that year. And like that gave me a better understanding of the Rolling Stones even. You know, when you're looking at it, of what was this time period? Like what was in the news? What was just happening?
Yeah.
All of that, you know, of course you don't see that on screen through my character, but it was so much fun looking at history in a different kind of way through Mad Men. Yeah. And then also like making that playlist, you're like, oh, I understand the vibe of this character and the vibe of what's going on. It's such a neat time period.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I love that. I got a little frustrated with it in sort of in the middle seasons. But then I got back into that final season. It just got to feel a little repetitive in the middle season. But as far as the acting, the and the production, I mean, it's beyond reproach for sure. And I thought I think the finale is got to be up there, in my opinion, one of the greats ever of a finale.
See, that makes me happy to hear. I will say, like, I have different feelings about the finale. Liked the finale, but at the same time, I think because it was just such an epic show in different ways, and whenever you get attached to something, I feel like you rarely ever leave with that like fully satisfied thing.
Yeah.
That fully satisfied feeling. But so many people.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I feel like we're divided on that ending. And I was one where I sat there going, I'm so happy. And at the same time, feel so perplexed about how I feel. That's how I felt about the finale. I felt perplexed about how I felt.
Yeah, I can understand that. I guess I had been burned the year before with the How I Met Your Mother finale, right, which I will never forgive them for. I thought it was terrible. But in this one, I just felt like for a character as conflicted as Don Draper is, and how, you know, he's a very complex character, I felt like it ended it as sort of in a safe spot and a happy spot, but like a peaceful spot for a character. And that's kind of, mm-hmm. that's how I think personally. Because I think creators want to do stuff that's like really risky and going to be like, ooh, look, we surprised you. That's not what you want in a finale. At least not what I want. I want to know that my characters are going to be safe and that they're going to be happy and that everything's going to be okay. And then I can leave and move on with my life.
Why you're a Hallmark fan, but also too, you know what? That's actually a great way of looking at that. Like with Don Draper, and I think maybe even like what's going on in the world now, like it still kept him as the mastermind or that brilliant mind of something in the advertising industry. Yeah. So it still kept him on that level, but it also opened him up, taking him out of that 50s mindset as well. So yeah, I guess like, I'm glad we're talking about this. I'm starting to open my view a little bit.
Oh, good. That's
but yeah, it was, I think it was more that it ended him on like that business approach, which made complete sense because, you know, that's where he was in the world and the season started. But we had just been through so much with him. I think I was expecting more of that like emotional pull.
Well, and especially, I mean, this is, I don't know how much people are going to be interested in this, but anyway, we talked about it because it's my podcast. But when Peggy walking down that hallway, I don't know if that's actually in the finale, but anyway, that, and you know, she made her choice. That was such a great moment. I was like, yes.
So good.
Yeah.
It was really good. Everything Peggy.
Yeah.
Everything Peggy was fantastic.
And I thought that things ended really nice for Joan. I was really kind of happy with that. And so, I just thought for a character like Don, I thought it was a very like poetic and great way for him to kind of, I feel like he's going to transition to the 70s terribly, but like this is as good a shot as he possibly can have, I think.
Right. It was one where I went, okay, it still kept true to him being like the genius or the new wave person that he was of creating, you know, like with the ad, because if anybody hasn't watched it, I don't want to spoil it too much, with where it ended in the advertisement that they used, I went, okay, it's more gentle, but also this is a new season, a new beginning, and we have no idea what's going to happen. And that's actually a really good thing.
Agreed. Yeah. So yeah. I should say for any listeners, Mad Men is not a Hallmark content approved, but it's still a really good show.
I would say, yes, it is not what you would think to watch after, say, you watch Royal New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But hey, variety is the spice of life. So anyway,
still a cultural classic that was still like one of the high points of my existence.
Yeah, I get that. So, okay, well, let's talk about Harvest Moon. So this movie, I really want to compliment you on it, because I think that your character could have been very irritating and unlikable. Because, you know, she's like spoiled, and she's, you know, it's kind of similar to like Cher and Clueless, that kind of character, or like Elle Woods, you know, it's like, I think they're kind of the same mold. And so how did you approach it to kind of bring warmth to the character and make it work?
I got really scared of the character for that reason alone, of going, you know, like on the page, is it so stereotypical, or going, I don't really like her, or how can I make her more than just the valley girl that goes to a farm? And like, that was something I did. I worked with an acting coach, Warner Laughlin, who I absolutely adore. And we had sat down and we literally just read the script together. And I got scared. So I got stuck in my head, like, I don't really know how to do this role, or where we go. And we just made her human, and, you know, made her not just the valley girl. And we gave her heart, the things that actually mattered to her. Therefore, even though, you know, her circumstances, she's only ridden a horse in Griffith Park, like there is so much more to her than just the fact that she's had a very sheltered and different life than everybody has. So I know that Peter DeLuise was amazing. I like get overwhelmed thinking about it, because this was such a special project. We had only had maybe a third of the script when they sent it to me. So they sent me the script. It was only a third done. They sent it to me on a Thursday. We needed to start filming on Tuesday. So I needed to first go like, okay, yes, we will do this. We don't have the rest of the script. I don't know that I could play this girl. I don't know that I necessarily like her. So, you know, looking through that script, I got to talk to Peter. He had that idea of like, you know, the Elle Woods character, which was great because we had that to go by. But then I also was like, well, what about Goldie Hawn and Overboard? You know, so the two of us were able to kind of like combine our views of how this script went. And then, you know, there's also Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City. Like, there's a lot of different elements that you can bring this to. But what's great with Peter is he has a little library of references. So each scene that came about, if he had inspiration for it, you know, he'd show us a little clip of what he loved. Or for me, I was super uncomfortable with comedy, because though I love to do it and I can do it, I've been cast more in like the evil alien, the Cinderella that's losing her baby. You know, like I do drama and I'm comfortable in drama. So this was an opportunity to do comedy, where Peter DeLuise is a mastermind at that. And so he would have little references for me, or he would just, you know, like, I have a video online that I posted of him having my Lucille Ball moment. So he was fantastic at bringing out the comedy in my character, which was something that with a movie like this, you know, it could be just very straightforward Valley Girl on the farm, you know, and like very picky moments, as opposed to, I think, more heartfelt or endearing or like relatable moments. So Peter DeLuise bring the physical comedy into it. And it was, at first, like that first week of filming, I'm like, I don't know if I trust any of this. And then I'm like, it's easier to trust it. Let's do this. And we filmed on an actual goat farm. So the entire time we were out there, we were on a goat farm that made amazing goat ice cream and goat cheese and everything. But we chose not to use the goats in the movie, which meant that like during, you know, while we're looking at the harvest moon and having these really intimate moments, in between like lines, all of a sudden you hear like whatever sound a goat makes. So it was there were so many amazing and different challenges during it. And like with this character too, on the first day of filming, we had to do 7 different looks, so 7 different outfits, different hairstyles, different makeup. Like it was by far still the most intense process of filming one of these movies that I've done, but still probably my absolute favorite.
If
that answers your question. I know you asked me something specific and I'm like, let me talk about it.
You did great. No, that's really, really good. We've actually, now I think about it, we have interviewed all 3 of the main leads. We've interviewed Jesse Hutch, and we've interviewed Lila Fitzgerald. So
yes,
we've got it all. It's great.
That's fantastic.
And they were just delightful, and so it must have been I mean, a fun set as far as just the people you got to work with. Super sweet and lovely.
Oh my gosh, that crew was amazing. But the actors, like Jesse Hutch, he was so fantastic to work with. And like I felt like he brought he he brought like such a juxtapose to who my character was as well. Like, I couldn't have enjoyed that cast like more. Everybody brought such authentic character pieces to it, and it was so much fun. And we had so much action in that we all got to do. It was really fun.
Yeah. Had you ever like ridden a horse or any of that kind of stuff?
You know, I've ridden horses for a few things before, but this was one, like, I've never galloped or anything like that. So yeah. Jesse Hutch and I, right before we started filming in that like 4-day period of it being greenlit for us, we went to, we have horse trainers on it, and I'm blanking on their names right now. I feel bad, but we had gone and like, we were put on horses and, you know, the guy was like, play tag. So we needed to chase each other on horses trying to play tag, and like got super comfortable with it. So, I mean, being in the outdoors, being on a goat farm, being in the location that we were with horses and tractors and water supplies and stuff like that, like it couldn't have been more bonding with everybody. It was awesome.
That is really cool. Was it hard to learn the square dance that you did? The line dance, I guess. Not square dance, line dance.
Oh, no, not at all. Oh. I love dancing. And like, that was super fun. That wasn't. Oh, okay. I mean, I feel like I remember someone having a difficult time with it, but I can't remember who. And that's probably a good thing. Yeah. I remember someone like not just being like, take me out of the scene, coach. Take me out.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite non-Christmas. I love it. I think it's really good. Absolutely love the birthday wish. I thought that was one of the best from last year. I love Julie's writing. I think she's a great writer. And I just really liked the concept of like, you get this, because it wasn't like it's a Wonderful Life kind of thing but it was just like this little glimpse of like your future and then what that does to her. And I also really liked the way that script really respected her as a character and her career, her life. Like, she wasn't just expected to give up everything for, you know, here's this, Luke McFarlane, amazing. And
my gosh, yes. What a cutie. Even now I'm like, he has a little twinkle in his eye, but I'm like, oh, he's amazing.
Yeah. It was so good. I loved it. And I really just thought it was it's one of the ones that people were asking me for a recommendation of a Hallmark movie that a non-Hallmark fan would like. I think this is one. It's just such a well-executed romantic comedy. I really like him with that monkey hat on in the future. Like, like my favorite.
Well, and again, like, Luke can, like, he pulls off, like, he's so charming. And, like, it was, yeah. Well, I've been so lucky with the male leads that I've gotten to work with, and like, Luke just brings that sparkle and shine to it. And we just had such an awesome, we had so much fun filming together. And I love also too, that you mentioned, or that we pulled off, that it wasn't her giving up everything. This was another movie I got to do with Peter DeLuise, who did Harvest Moon. Yeah. And we sat down right before filming, and that was something that we both brought to the table of going, I don't want this to be a story of she meets the guy and gives up everything. I want it to be, you know, why can't she have it all, and why can't it support each other? And there's the importance of not the identity through work, but like, she has a separate identity from the male as well as from the work. And I felt like it was a little bit different from the other Hallmark movies. Like, when I was watching it, I was going, oh, I still love this, but it feels a little bit different, and I still can't put my finger on why, but that was really fun. And Cardi Wong was part of that, who is also part of Road to Christmas from this year.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, Julie said that of all her scripts, she said it's her favorite of The Birthday Wish.
Oh, she's amazing, by the way, and that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
This was one I was scared of, how we were going to do like the flash forward stuff, the magic-y stuff. Yeah. And that was one, like, Peter and I had to sit down and go, okay, I'm like, how are you planning on doing this? What is the lighting going to be? Are you like, there were so many funny stories from that movie as well. We had such a good time.
Well, and what was really cool too is that the relationship with Marcus Rosner's character, it was like a decent relationship, and they had talked about what their goals and dreams were, and he was going with, and then she changes because she sees this new insight into her life, and so you can't really blame the guy for like continuing on their agreed upon relationship, so it just made it better than like the evil business guy.
Right. Well, and thank you for saying that, because that was another thing that was really important to us, is going with, and Marcus, so good. Like I said, everybody's amazing, but everybody, like with that relationship, it was also important to us to make that a real relationship of going, okay, there is something missing, but it is still a functioning relationship and they're still going about it. But really, like, there's always been something that hasn't been completely hitting the mark in it. Like, there's nothing horrible. There's nothing horrible that happens. There's nothing evil about it. It's just going, we have a real relationship and there are parts maybe that don't completely match up, but like, it wasn't like this new guy came along and it's like, ooh, now I'm done with you. It's, oh wow, I'm realizing what I've been missing, and this is really sad. This is upsetting, but that was never something that was here in this relationship.
Yeah. All right. Well, so real quick, let's talk about Royal New Year's Eve. Was that fun to be in a Hallmark Princess movie?
It was. Yeah. It was really fun. And, you know, of course, everybody on set was like, it's your Cinderella moment.
So you're like, I've already had that.
Exactly. Like, but now I'm in a pink dress. It was really fun. It was, and I feel like this was, all the movies that I've done for Hallmark have all had, I don't know what the words are that I'm trying to find, but go ahead with asking me your question again.
Okay. No, I mean, it just, it looked like it would be fun. That dress must have been fun to put on.
That dress. Let me just tell you about that dress. For this, because of legal reasons and because in the script, we needed a custom dress. Like the whole script was all about this dress.
Yeah.
And this was another movie that came along where we didn't realize that we couldn't just like take another dress and then customize it through that. It needed to be built from ground up. And this was one where on a Saturday, we find out that we need this dress and it needs to be this way. And so this dress was one where literally right before the scenes where I'm pulling it on, like even during rehearsals, it wasn't completely ripped off. Like the ladies were still sewing it on me. We were still getting this together. And so the reveal of that dress really was like the major reveal of the movie and behind the scenes of like, look at the dress.
That's funny.
But we did not have that dress until really like it was being made in the process all last minute. So, and it fits, like I felt so beautiful in it. It was such a pretty dress.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And yeah, it definitely complimented like your blonde hair and blue eye, you know, this pink blush pink dress.
Thank you.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
And it must have been fun to work with Sam Page and that whole cast.
Oh my gosh. Once again, like Sam Page, I have the biggest work crush on him. Like he's awesome as a human being. He is so awesome. And working with him was just so much fun, and it was so easy. And like this entire cast, like we even had Haley Sales, Andrew, like we had really great humans that were really, really down to earth. And I felt like really everybody was able to make something special and real come to the scenes. And we had such a good time. And our director, Monica, really was really about, you know, making it relatable, but making it about the emotion and the humans and the characters.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's what I like to hear.
Like Sam Page again, he also has that like twinkle in his eye where you're like, stop. You just like radiate twinkles.
We did our Hunks of Hallmark podcast where we're ranking the Hallmark, and he was mentioned. So
he like walks and you're like, how cute is he?
Yeah, as was Luke McFarlane. So
it's true.
But let's talk about Road to Christmas. That's coming out this weekend.
Yay.
And can you tell us a little bit about the story without spoilers?
Yes. So I play a character named Maggie Parker, and she is a TV producer. And she produces a show for Julia Wise, who's kind of like the Martha Stewart of this world. And so I'm getting ready to produce her Christmas pageant, like her Christmas TV special. And the network's getting a little concerned because they don't want to do it live. And I'm sitting here being like, hey, guys, you know, let's get into the 21st century. Let's do this. And so they're getting concerned. And Julia Wise brings her son, Danny Wise, who's played by Chad Michael Murray. She brings him to help produce. And he is way more traditional. So he wants things very much by the book, very much by what they've done. Keep it safe. And I'm saying, let's make this exciting. Let's bring something new. Let's make new traditions. There's nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. So we are now put on a team to bring this show to life. And of course, in the process, our butting heads. But so we settle on the idea of going on a road trip where we will have recorded segments, but in the process, we'll have like live interviews, and then that we can sprinkle through the live show. So we will have traditional as well as new traditions.
Oh, okay.
And in this process, I surprised Danny by going to pick up his brothers, because him and his family don't really spend Christmas with each other. And his brothers are adopted, which is why we call them the Three Wise Men. And I've come up with this mastermind plan to bring them to Julia Wise and be like, here is your best Christmas gift on Christmas. And it's a story very much about family coming together, about letting your past be healed, about reconciling, and also really much about being in the moment as well as creating like a great presence to move forward.
Oh, that's a really interesting description, because in the poster, in the publicity, I was like, they don't actually mention a road trip. And so I was like,
it's a cooking show.
Yeah. I was like, should this be called the recipe of Christmas or something? I'm like, I'm very confused where the road is. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
the
kind
poster,
of
the poster, when I saw it, I was like, wait a second, we're not a cooking show.
But,
and yeah, we haven't really brought up like the whole plot line of the adopted brothers and everything, because what's really neat about this script in this movie, which I felt was similar to Royal New Year's Eve, is it's very much an ensemble cast. So it's not just main girl, main guy, see what happens. It very much includes other characters. And that's why I loved Royal New Year's Eve. And when I read this one, I went, yes, like, we get an ensemble piece, which means there's more than one story happening that all, you know, come together. But this is one, like, there is the road trip involved, and we don't really get that from the advertisements, but it's what this movie is, and it makes it really fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that sounds fun. So it's part sort of family reunion, kind of, and part this filming the show.
Yes, it's the filming of the show. It's part family reunion, and it's very much arguing as what is tradition. You know, can't tradition be made new, or it doesn't need to be stuck in your old ways. Like, you can still have a great time while creating something new.
Yeah. Well, and it has a pretty great cast. I mean, yeah, Chad Michael Murray. Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I know. Twinkle again.
Yeah, we get him twice this year for Hallmark, so that's exciting. And already in the beach house.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun.
No, I mean, Chad was so much fun to work with. Like, it was really fun because I felt like we were on the same page with, like, our characters and bringing things to the scenes. And he was always so prepared. And he also, too, he has a directorial mind. So he got to bring, like, a lot of his ideas to the scenes and maybe the shots that were happening. So everyone was so much fun. And like Chad was amazing to like have as my partner in crime in this.
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah. And Tara Rothery is someone we love. She's in a ton of stuff.
Yes.
She also,
again, as a human being, so fantastic. And also just, she brought so much, she brought a reality to the character as well as so much personality. And it was really great. Watching her work is really fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so that's really cool. We're excited for it. Excited to see it. And it's probably my most anticipated of this weekend of the three, to be honest.
Oh, yay. Yeah, yeah. That makes me so excited.
Yeah. So real quick.
What else is premiering this weekend?
This weekend we have Christmas Joy, which I am looking forward to because of the writer. And I love Daniel Panabaker. She's amazing. So I'm looking forward to that. But Tracy Andreen is the writer on it, and she's the best. So I'm looking forward to that. But then also they have Marrying Father Christmas, which is part of this series that is not for me, is not my favorite.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Good. But everybody most everybody else loves it. So they will love it. And hopefully maybe I'll be surprised and it'll win me over. Who knows? I always try to have an open mind.
Right. Good. Yeah.
Real quick, before we go, we like to ask just some fun, silly Christmas questions of our guests.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first question, what's your favorite holiday drink?
Eggnog. Even though I don't do dairy anymore, so I have to find, I'm on a hunt to find the best non-dairy eggnog.
Okay. If anybody has any recommendations, put in the comments.
Yes.
What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Ooh, sugar cookies.
Yeah.
I love sugar cookies. Yes.
It's pretty delicious. Okay.
Soft ones, like the thick, soft ones.
Yeah. What is your favorite Christmas carol or song?
Ooh, Silent Night has always been my favorite as a kid. I don't know if it is so much as an adult because I haven't listened to it that often, but Silent Night is Christmas to me. But you know what? I will say every Christmas, that's my traditional one. That's my Chad Michael Murray one for the movie. I would say always Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with anything Mariah Carey for Christmas.
She's one of the queens of Christmas. There's no doubt. Okay. Yeah. What is your favorite Christmas movie? And you can pick Hallmark, non-Hallmark, whatever you want. Is there one?
Oh, wow. I feel like Elf is a staple. Yeah. I don't know that it's the one that always hits home for me, but Elf is one that on Thanksgiving, the night of Thanksgiving or the night after, I always watch Elf. So that sets up Christmas to me.
It's so funny. You can't go wrong.
It's so good. Elf. Yeah, exactly.
You sit on a throne of lies. Yeah. Do you have a favorite holiday tradition that you decorating the tree or something that you particularly love?
You know what, I would say, I realized the other day, the one tradition that I know is part of every year, when I'm at home with my family, is on my dad's side, my Uncle Jerry bakes chocolate chip cookies, so it goes against my sugar cookie, but he makes chocolate chip cookies that, we will travel to have these cookies.
Yeah.
This is a recipe, no one knows what's in it, but it's amazing. So, I mean, I would say, really, I guess the tradition that I love most is, even as painstaking and as stressful as it can be sometimes, coming home for Christmas is my favorite tradition.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Okay. What's a memorable Christmas gift you either have given or received? Do you have your Red Ryder BB gun moment?
Right. I mean, I had a gift that my mom gave me that was very sentimental, which is from my great grandma that she used to wear on her bra strap every day as protection. Uh-huh. So that was something very sentimental that I'd gotten from my mom. But I would say the favorite gifts that I've gotten in the last, the favorite gifts that I remember is, it wasn't even a gift for me, but on my dad's side, we do the white elephant, which we also do in the movie, but we do gifts under $5.
Uh-huh.
So you can do $5 or you re-gift something.
Yeah.
And my dad is a screen printer and he makes t-shirts, and he had put this weird baseball TV t-shirt in there that said meat hooks or something really weird, and put a Red Bull in a box. And my grandma at the age of 95 opened this, and she's holding a Red Bull in one hand and this baseball tee up that says meat hooks. And it's still the best gift I've ever seen received and given. It was amazing.
That's funny. All right.
Yeah, that is so, you say your favorite gift, and I'm her in a meat hook shirt.
Yeah. I love it.
So weird.
Look at, he's mass produced.
Yeah.
Okay. Which do you like better, Scrooge or the Grinch?
The the Grinch.
Okay. Clear lights or colored?
Clear lights.
Yeah. Are you a good, would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper?
I'm a creative gift wrapper.
That's a good answer.
Yes.
If I really focus, I can be a good gift wrapper. But most of the time, I'm just like, where's the gift bag? Gift bag is so easy.
Yeah. I always forget that gift bags are a thing, which is why I'm a creative wrapper. Like, gift bags are so easy, but maybe they're too easy. And that's why I'm like, no, can't do that.
Yeah. All right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater? And what is your ugliest Christmas sweater?
You know, I don't have an ugly Christmas sweater, but I do have a Christmas sweater. I think I got it at like a clothing swap, or it was someone's, could have even been like Leah Thompson's hand-me-down that she gave me. But it's this red vintagey sweater that has a Budweiser logo on it, but it's like, it's an old, yeah, it's in yeah. like, it's this old, it's this old setting of like horses going on a prairie that's like woven into this sweater. And it's like, it's a very classy Budweiser, you know, logo, but it's this vintagey sweater, and that 100% is my Christmas sweater. I know it doesn't really like go with the theme of Christmas, but like the theme of the horses and the snow and woven into a red sweater, it's my favorite.
It's on brand. It's red. That counts.
Yeah, I didn't even know that it said Budweiser until someone's like, oh, is that appropriate? I'm like, why?
That's funny. Someone's like,
of course it is. And I'm like, oh, I get it.
Someone's like judging your sweater appropriateness. That's funny.
I know. I'm like, you're not even wearing one. So, no.
That's funny. Well, you have been a delight. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And I know that people, our listeners, will really enjoy. And this has been really fun. Hopefully we can have you on again. And we look forward to seeing the movie.
Yeah.
Do you have social media you'd like to share?
I do. On Twitter and on Instagram, I am under J Schrammer. So J-S-C-H-R-A-M-E-R. And those are what I'm most active on.
Awesome. Well, I will have links to all that in the description so people can follow you and check you out on those social media. And thanks again for taking the time to talk to me. It was really fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Bye.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Well, that was so much fun to have Jessie on the podcast. Really enjoyed it. I hope you guys did too. Let us know what you thought on Twitter or on the comments section. Please put in your ratings on iTunes. Really appreciate it in your reviews. Give us a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. And please follow us on social media all over at Hallmarkies Pod. You can follow me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media and on iTunes and YouTube. I really appreciate that. And we hope you all enjoy the movies this weekend and have a very, very Merry Christmas. We will talk to you later. Bye.